You're listening to The Art of Daily Practice, and this session is called Creating a Time and Space for Your Practice. Where you're going to practice is a fairly simple but important decision. You'll want to find a place that's functional, focused, and if possible, somewhat insulated from the outside world. Because after all, this is a place where you're going to be spending a lot of time. You owe it to yourself to make this space comfortable, quiet, and easy to use. So here are four qualities of a focused practice space. The first one is simplicity. Practice does not require a lot of fancy tools, nice furniture, or elaborate decoration. It doesn't require much of anything except enough space to fit your body, a notebook or an instrument, and a sturdy music stand. Anything beyond that might actually end up being a distraction, so keep it simple and keep it functional. Another quality that to look for in a practice space is order. You'll want to keep your practice nook neat enough to use. Declare it as somewhat sacred, because if this space gets littered with laundry or piled up with books, that clutter will discourage you from sitting down to practice. At times in the past, I've missed sessions simply because I'd stacked books on the piano bench. And believe it or not, the small mental block of having to move those stacks is sometimes enough to make me skip a session. And it's not just me, it's many people. We'll look for any little reason to skip a session, especially if it seems stressful. So try to keep the space neat, organized, and dedicated to what you're using it for. And that brings us to the next quality, is dedication. A practice space isn't just a physical room that you step into, it's also a state of mind that you step into. If your practice space needs to serve other functions too, find a way to carve out a little corner of it for your practice. My practice nook, which is a closet really, is also the venue for a lot of other daily activities. It's where I read, listen to music. There's even a treadmill against the far wall that I run on every day, so to draw a clear line between my practice and those other activities, I have a small ritual of setting up my music stand in the corner and pulling out one particular piano bench that I only sit on while I practice. And this may seem like a simple enough little routine or ritual, but the funny thing is that over time, these little bits of preparation really help you ease into the right mindset. Setting up the music stand and the bench is my way of mentally transitioning into practice time. The final quality to look for is quiet. It's hard to find often, especially if you live in a city, or if you have kids, but try to find a space that's somewhat insulated from the outside world and from other people. So if it has a door, close the door. If it has curtains, pull the curtains. Remember that when you step into your practice space, you are not a performer. Your job is not to entertain or impress anyone. No audience, nobody who's overhearing you. If you're too aware of the presence of other people nearby, you will find yourself hesitating to take risks and stretch your abilities. You'll be tempted to play the things that you already know will sound good. And playing things you're already good at is not practice. So in your practice space, you should feel comfortable sounding terrible. This is a safe place. And again, when you're practicing, you are not a performer. It's not your job to entertain or impress anybody while you're here. If you absolutely need a tablet computer, an e-reader, or any other kind of digital device for reference while you study, please do yourself a favor and put it in some kind of do not disturb or airplane mode. If at all possible, disable wireless access so you won't be derailed by incoming emails, text messages, or anything else that might beep or flash or otherwise distract you. Studies suggest that even just seeing the little notification for an email is enough to break you out of a task and break your focus. So outside of your practice space, by all means, do whatever you want, but when you're inside your practice space, remove as many distractions as you can. Progress is quickest and best when you keep your focus strong and undiluted. This time and space should truly be yours and should truly be dedicated to practice. So there's a question of how long you should practice. If you're just starting a daily practice routine, you won't need to devote much time when you're starting out. Actively learning new things takes a lot of energy and a lot of focus. So choose a modest amount of time that you know you can spend every day. 20 minutes a day is a good number to start with, anywhere from 15 to 25. Clearing a time for your practice is another challenge. I suggest choosing one specific time of day for your practice and writing it into your calendar. The advantage of choosing one set time for practice is that it takes away some of the temptation to procrastinate. You don't necessarily have to make this an exact quantified time, like 8:20 p.m. You can express the time as something like right after I wake up each morning, or every evening after dinner works. Everyone's daily life and their rhythms are unique, so you might have to exercise a little bit of creativity to find the right practice conditions. You'll want to find a time when you feel mentally sharp, when you feel physically fairly well rested, and when you can find a quiet corner for yourself. Jazz great Wes Montgomery used to actually practice guitar fingerstyle late at night so that he wouldn't wake his wife while she slept. Others like to get up early in the morning before anyone else is awake. Try to seek out a window of practice time that fits the daily rhythms of your life, your energy level, and your household. That concludes this session of The Art of Daily Practice. We'll be back next week with more. Thanks for listening.